of the Board of Commissioners of Fort Worth Housing Solutions to order on this day, Thursday, April 16th, 2020, at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Pursuant to the March 16th, 2020 notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meetings Act, this meeting is being held via telephone conference and it is also a requirement that it be recorded. I would like to ask that speakers should state their name before speaking for the benefit of the rest of the board, staff, and anyone in the public who has joined the meeting. But so we're ready to get started. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Our first item on the agenda, I need to do a roll call of our Board of Commissioners. So would you please state that you're present? Richard Stinson?
Present.
Michael Ramirez?
Present.
Brittany Hall?
Present.
Danny Scar?
I'm present.
Great.
Good to hear your voice, Danny.
Yeah. Good to be here.
Definitely is. All right, so we'll move forward. Our first item is election of a chairperson and vice chairperson to serve for the ensuing year.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that Terry Attaway be chairperson and Dick Stinson be vice chairperson for the ensuing year.
Okay, and before that is Michael Ramirez speaking?
That's correct.
Okay, I would second
the motion. All right, so it motion and the second was that Danny?
Yes, I'm sorry, it was Danny.
Okay, all right. So yeah, please state your name for us, y'all. And I know this is going to take a little getting used to. So I guess I heard her before, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello? Brittany.
Can I hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. So I'm just confirming that you said voted positive for this motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, next item on the agenda is public comments. If we have any public comments, they should have been spoken to by the moderator prior to the call. Is there anyone out there that needed to have a public comment? If any, spark second. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Hold up.
All opposed? Yeah. No opposed? The motion passes. And even I need to do this, guys. I need to poll you individually as you say aye. So I will poll you. Danny Scarf?
Aye.
Richard Stinson?
Aye.
Brittany Hall?
Brittany.
That's an aye for you too, Brittany.
Did we lose Brittany?
So we want to limit that comment time to 3 minutes. All right, being that there seems to be none, we'll go on in the agenda. The next item is the consent agenda. The statutory consent agenda includes non-controversial and routine items that the board may act upon with a single vote. A board member may pull any item from the consent agenda for discussion and action as part of the regular agenda.
I would move to approve, Danny.
Okay. Thank you. Danny Scarf moves approval. Do we have a second?
Dick Stinson seconds.
Okay. Thank you, Dick. All in favor? All in favor individually, please.
Brittany Hall says aye.
Thank you.
Danny Scarf says aye.
Dick Stinson says aye.
Michael Ramirez says aye.
Thank you all. All right, now we will move to the regular agenda items. The first item is a report on efforts to maintain operations of Fort Worth Housing Solutions during the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is Mary Margaret Lemons. I'm going to give most of the reports today. So the first one, I just wanted to give you an update on the Housing Authority and how they have been maintaining operations during the COVID-19 epidemic. So we met as a senior staff on March 16th and created a response plan that was then published that day and went into effect March 17th. So one of the immediate steps that we took was limiting public access to the building and still providing our services, but doing it either electronically or through the mail. And so I sent out the staffing plan to you guys, I believe, the email that staff received, along with our plan that's on the website for our third parties to access. So we worked with other housing authorities throughout the state to kind of get a best practice of how we should continue operations. We are very lucky because the investments that you all approved in our IT infrastructure was being cloud-based really afforded us extra resources to be able to have people work from home. On our system, you can log in remotely from wherever and access your desktop here at the Housing Authority. So we've been able to maintain operations for the most part at a pretty good capacity. The one thing that we're not doing is in-person inspections on units. We've done new move-in inspections because no one's in a property, obviously, but for an occupied unit, we are using some leniency from HUD to either do those through like a WebEx or FaceTime type situation or using self-certifications or delaying them. So we put this in place really quickly and I think really effectively. We haven't had to make any changes. We have been posting frequently asked questions for all of our programs and resources on the website for our program participants. One of the things we did last week was create a short form for people to report change of income, because as we know that everybody is suffering, you know, job loss and loss of income during this time, we want to make it easy for those to be reported and then their rent to change. So to date, we've only received 382 changes to income. So we're proactively reaching out to our properties to make sure management knows the process and how they should report those changes. So I can take any questions on our plan at this time before I go into the HUD waivers.
This is Danny. I would just confess, you know, maybe it's some really good lessons that we can learn from this process, you know, making things more accessible over the web or telephone, that kind of thing, that could carry on in the future despite, you know, working under the conditions of the virus. So I think, you know, one, yes, I agree with you that, you know, the investment in IT to make it possible, but also, you know, looking for more creative ways to be more accessible via internet or the website like that. It may be a good exercise for us.
I don't know if you read my letter in our newsletter that just went out about an hour ago, but that's exactly what I said. A lot of this technology that we're using will stay with us. And so this may impact our need for additional office space. We may be able to have a smaller footprint because we may not need as many bodies in one place going forward. And we can really use this to be open to our clients 24 hours a day with both the briefings that are typically done in person. Cell and Sonia have been working with Margaret to create online resources to complete those trainings so people don't have to come down to the office, both for landlords, clients, just across the board. So we have been kind of exploring new technologies, and some of them don't cost much of anything to get going and providing more content in various media so we can still provide the same level of service. So
yeah,
I agree, Mr. Scarth.
I haven't read your newsletter yet, but I'll get to it.
Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about as far as COVID is really HUD's response to the situation. we are a member of a few trade organizations that have been very active and vocal on the Hill to make sure that public housing authorities are not overlooked throughout this process. So both CLAFA, FADA, and NARO have been working together, and we're able to get the housing authorities included in the last relief bill. So the housing authorities will be receiving additional funding in addition to our typical budget. So for both operating subsidy on public housing side, additional HAP payment for the HCD side, and then there's other other funds that are coming in. At this point, we expect those funds to be in by March 1st, and they have just released a waiver guide last Friday that allows various program exceptions, whether it be timelines have been extended or self-certifications. There's a long list that our staff is looking at and making recommendations on implementation that we should have in place by Monday. So the great thing that they did do on this waiver, typically waivers have to be done individually by housing authorities and wait for approval from HUD. They have to be sent in and forwarded to DC. In this situation, these blanket waivers are available to all housing authorities, and you do not have to send anything in. You just have to document that you chose to take part in it. There was also a separate notice that went out specifically for some of our special programs, and that did require approval or notice to HUD, and we've already sent that in. So we're working hard to make sure that we're staying within our guidelines, but HUD has been pretty responsive and have taken in a lot of the considerations that housing authorities have given them on what's happening on the ground. So we don't expect it to impact operations to any great extent. Both FAS and CMAP have been suspended for the year, so we will not be getting scores on those things unless we particularly ask for them.
Did they mention what amounts of monies that they would dish out?
So they're still, I think, figuring out the final numbers, but on the last call I was on last Friday with HUD, they anticipated it being 2 months of additional HAP or 2 months of operating subsidy. We do know that there's a fourth relief bill in the works and that they are asking for more because, as you know, anybody that is on assistance has had a change of income, they report that change, then our portion, the housing authority's portion of the payment goes up. So our budget is based on what we spent last year, and if there's a major change across the board for a lot of families, obviously we could be presented with a shortfall situation again because our annual payments are based on the previous years. And so while we are grateful for the 2 months, we are watching everything very closely to see how far that's going to get us and whether or not we're going to have to make any shortfall arrangements. We're just like 3,000 other housing authorities across the nation that are in the same situation, so they're very aware. Across the portfolio from an asset management side, we have been working with all of our partners and property management companies to make sure that we know kind of the status of each property and challenges they're facing. We have not been made aware of any properties that have a COVID positive resident. So unlike some other housing authorities, we have not had to spend extra expense on a lot of cleaning or special scenarios there. We are seeing collections are challenging across the board. We see anywhere from 10 to 43% delinquency rate on our properties. And so we are working with all of our clients through the property management companies to offer repayment agreements or other situations where we can ensure that they're getting their basic needs met and that we have a understanding on how that they're going to pay rent. As you know, both federally and at the state level, of course here locally, the there's an eviction moratorium, and so we will not be filing any evictions. We can still give a notice to tenants that they have not paid rent, but there's no vacation of any units for non-payment of rent. There is, however, still the ability for us to evict for criminal activity. And so those cases would still be heard, and we can still send notices if there's criminal activity. So any questions on any of that?
Not for me.
No question. Okay, great. Okay, the next report then that we will hear is on development and asset management presentation on in our RAD properties.
So even through COVID-19,
still Mary Margaret.
Yeah, sorry, Mary Margaret Lemons. Even through COVID-19, we have still been able to get business done. I'm happy to report we've closed 2 RAD transactions as of the end of March, with a half date starting on April 1st. Both the Henderson and Aventine have closed. And so that leaves us with just Cambridge Court as the lone RAD transaction that we're waiting on. And so we are very hopeful that that will be done in short order, and we can be completely finished with RAD. So we are still also moving, relocating our residence at Cavill. The last number I believe I got from Sonia's group was about 29 residents, with some of those are in the process of moving. And so our staff has been working really closely to ensure that we can still relocate through the COVID process. So so that's happening, and we're moving forward on the Cavill property. Other than that, the 2 development projects that we have slated for this year are obviously the PFC project on East 1st Street. That'll be 250 units of new construction adjacent to our Hillside property. And then Cowan Place, our senior property that is included in our Choice Neighborhood application. And just to give you an update on that, we have not received word on the awards being made. We're sitting on pins and needles. So hopefully we'll hear something by the end of the month that HUD has made the awards for those grants.
Any questions from anyone? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. The next item is to consider a resolution revising the Housing Choice Voucher Program's administrative plan, modifying preferences and eliminating a set aside of voucher for a program that has ended.
Yes. And so this this is before you because we were awarded 200 additional mainstream vouchers recently. And those vouchers have a specific population that they're to be used for. So we have to amend our administrative plan to meet the plan preferences to meet the grant requirements. And so that's what we're doing. We actually did a little cleanup on other programs that had ended too at the same time.
So what are some of those changes?
So the preference for the mainstream are for the population of under 62 with a disability. And so we just, when we got the grant within a certain time frame, you have to amend your administrative plan to provide for that preference. So we're doing that. Seller, seen anything else?
It's really,
yes, this is Celestine Mitchell. The requirement is for persons who are under 62 with disabilities, but the preferences that we're adding are the preferences that relate to the homelessness status. So anybody on the current voucher list who is 62 and under qualified but for them to get the preference, we were required to put those preferences in our administrative plan within 6 months of the opening. So that's the purpose of that. So there are several of them, including if they're currently homeless, or if they're transitioning out of an institution, or if they're in a permanent supportive housing program, those are the preferences.
But all of those are for 62.
For people who are under 62 with disabilities,
okay.
They're eligible for the mainstream voucher. But those who have those preferences.
I get questions often sometimes with people asking, what do we have for seniors? Or I just always give them your number, but I'm fine. To be sure. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
But not elderly, so people under 62.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
We were excited
to get
that.
Michael, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt whoever was speaking.
No, you're fine. That's fine. Is there a second?
Dick Stinson will second that.
Great. Thank you, Dick. All in favor? Motion's been presented. All in favor, say aye. With your name?
Oh, you.
Dave Michael, aye.
Dick Stinson, aye.
Danny, did we hear you?
Yes, Danny, aye.
Okay. And Brittany, I don't think I heard her.
Brittany. Okay.
That's the aye, Brittany? Okay. Brittany, you with us?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. So that's an aye for you, too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, got it. It's been motioned and properly seconded. That motion passes. Thank you all. Now we'll go to the next item, which is to consider a resolution. Can you probably see this? Executing agreement with Nailrod Company to obtain inspection services for sites owned by FWHS.
So we are required under HUD regulations for HQS inspections on sites that we own, the 4000 Solutions owns, to be done by a third party. And so our current contract was up for expiration, and we did a procurement to make sure that we were getting the best price for the service, and these are the results. And so we would like authorization to execute that contract to be able to provide these services.
Great. Any questions? Or comments? If not, can we get a motion?
Yeah, this is Danny Stark. I'm a motion to approve.
Okay.
Brittany Hall, second.
Thank you. It's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye with your name. Brittany Hall says aye.
Michael Ramirez, aye.
Dick Stinson, aye.
Danny Stark, aye.
Thank you all. Great. Motion passes. Our next item is to consider a resolution modifying the contract with CVR Associates for planning and consulting services.
So we're asking for a modification to the original contract in order to get us through the award period of the Choice Neighborhood grant. We originally budgeted for the application, and since we've made it as a finalist and we intend on winning the award and getting the implementation, we need a little bit more room on that contract to pay for the services of CVR.
Can you remind me, who is CVR? Are they a local firm? Are they national?
We are the national firm that has a presence just literally across the nation. Our local representative, Melanie Campbell, who's assigned to our housing authority, was out of the Bedford. She was here in Bedford, so she was actually able to be on the ground quite a bit through the past few years, because they not only helped us through Choice Neighborhood, but also RAD. So they are a full-service consulting firm for public housing authorities, and have a variety of business lines, including actually managing programs. They come in and manage HCD, call center development for housing authorities that need that type of service, but then also consulting on things like RAD, Choice Neighborhoods, and a variety of other programs that HUD operates. And so they have been a really good partner on both RAD and Choice Neighborhood, and we've been pleased with them.
Thank you.
And this day, what has been the contract so far? How much has been the contract for the Choice Neighborhoods, and then what are we expecting it to go to?
Kelvin, I think it was to the, sorry, Mr. Scarf, 250 was the original contract. So the modification we're asking for is 62,500 to bring it to a total of 312,500.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And do we anticipate further increases, or we estimate this will cover it through completion?
So the grant period is 6 years if we win. So I anticipate this getting us through starting, implementing the grant as far as signing the contract with HUD and negotiating with all of the partners, the leads on the project. But I do anticipate if we want them to be involved on a long-term basis, that we would come back and bring another procurement forward.
Okay.
And really this is in place of adding FTEs because it's a very specialized program and it's for a specific time frame. We would look at probably to a consultant rather than hiring full-time staff.
Okay. I'll make a motion. Nobody has any further questions.
Mr. Danny, I'll second.
All right. It's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye. State your name.
Brittany says aye.
No, you're...
Brittany says aye.
Danny Scar says aye.
Michael says aye.
Hey, thank you very much. The motion passes. All right, at this time, if there's no other comments, we will be ready to adjourn this meeting currently at 12:27 p.m. And if you guys will stay with me, we have one other short meeting for Trinity River Public Facility Corporation, which we will open now at 12:27.
Yeah, either pursuant. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Put a little notes in this.
Okay. It was in the consent agenda. Am I on mute?
No, you're consent. Oh, okay. All right. Everybody with me? Yep.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We're going to open the meeting for Trinity River Public Facility Corporation. It's now 12:28 p.m. on this day, Thursday, April 16th, 12:28 Central Standard Time. Pursuant to the March 16th, 2020 notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meetings Act, this meeting is being held via telephone conference and it is also a requirement that it be recorded. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the special meeting held November 21, 2019.
This is Michael. I'll move.
This is Brittany. I want to second that.
Okay. Thank you. It's been moved and second. All in favor say aye with your name.
Dick says
Brittany.
Aye.
Brittany says aye.
Danny Stark, aye.
Michael, aye.
Okay. Thank you all. It's motion passes. The next item is consider a resolution to declare the intent to issue bonds for Cowan Place.
So we are asking for your authorization to issue bonds for Cowan Place, which is the senior development, which will be the first phase under our Stop 6 redevelopment. We have currently applied for a 9% tax credit application with CDHCA for that project. But based on the preliminary scoring, we understand that we may not be in the running for an award this year. We knew that this was going to be a challenging neighborhood, and we have taken steps to communicate with staff at TDHCA about our application for a choice neighborhood and changes to the QAP that could benefit us going forward. And so we're making those efforts, but just to be prepared in the event that we don't get an award, we are gearing up to put in a 4% application to do a 4% transaction instead of a 9% transaction. We cannot have a 9% and 4% pending at the same time, so we will have to remove the 9% in order to submit the 4%, and we'll make that decision as, you know, things progress. The reason we're asking for this authorization now is because there may be a strain on the amount of money that's allowed under the bond cap when it's released. And so we understand that there's a lot of projects that could be getting in line, and we want to make sure we can secure a 4% this year. Any questions?
Amy, so not this application has specific deadlines, but the 4% doesn't necessarily, is that correct?
Correct. It's a rolling application period for a 4%. We met the submission application deadline for the 9%, which was back beginning of March 1st. And so we put in our application for that. But just based on the scoring that CDHCA has released, we are not at the top of the list.
Not real competitive, okay.
And we explained to CDHCA that Brian and I went down with MBS, our developer partner, and Melanie from CBR, and explained to the new executive director of CDHCA that we had put in an application for a choice neighborhood grant, and that while we use 4 and 9s all the time, the QAP that they use to score those and make those awards doesn't align with the Choice Neighborhood federal program. Everything that makes Cavill a great location and a great applicant for Choice makes it a horrible applicant for CDHCA. And so we're trying to get them to understand that and maybe make some special dispensations in the next rules that they publish.
Thank you.
No other questions? Can I have a motion?
Dick says so moved.
Yeah, Danny will second.
Yes. All right, it's been moved and properly second. All in favor, say aye and state your name.
Brittany says aye.
Michael says aye.
Dick says aye.
Danny?
Just Danny, I don't know if you got mine about that.
Okay, I don't know if I got it, but I got it now. Thank you, Danny. All right, motion passes. That is the last item on the agenda for Trinity River Public Facility Corporation. So if there's no other comments, we can adjourn this meeting at 12:33 p.m. And I believe that's the end of our meetings for our teleconference today. So I really, really thank you all for joining in and taking part of this meeting. Have a great day and stay safe.
Terry?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
This is Dick. Is everybody in the agency well?
Yes. Yes, we have not had any situations that we've had to address here at the agency.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I'm praying. This is Brittany. I'll be praying for everybody. Wash them hands.
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody stay safe.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.